Well, church, we're honoured this morning to have our senior pastor,
Andrea.
She's come to share for the first time.
Can I get guest? Yeah, I'm like a guest speaker. Yeah. Fantastic. Okay. Thank you so much, guys. If you don't know who I am, my husband is Nigel, the guy on the screen. And I just want to wish everyone a happy new year. For those of you I haven't seen, I've been down at Wellard the last few weeks, so it's been great. Hello, Rebecca. Alan, have you got your little bubby there? Oh, don't Africans just make the best babies? Seriously. I told my daughter, our daughter got married in 2019, and I was always praying. Susan Pitar actually is part of our Wellard campus, James's beautiful wife. And Susan and I, we always had it planned that her son would marry my daughter so I could get a real cute little African baby. Well, that didn't happen, but she married a boy of Chinese heritage, so I'm going to get cute little Asian baby, grandbabies. Sorry. Okay, moving on. Jonathan, my goodness, that was amazing this morning. Talk about audacious. Goodness me. And look, I know the backstory to that. Nigel's told me a little bit about that. That was actually, for you to leave that job, was actually standing on integrity because it got so bad up there with what was going on. Good grief. So I think it's not just about, we don't just throw in our jobs and go, oh, well, God. No, this was actually, I think it was a real declaration of this is a deal breaker for me. And I just want to say, wow. Talk about audacious. What are you going to ask God for this year then? Far out. And what an amazing host these guys are. We went to, I'm just loving this time of year. This time of year is where we get that opportunity to do community with church people. You know, life gets busy, doesn't it, during the year. And so, we have Connect Group, which is awesome. I love it. But in January, you can just sort of relax and chill. And we went to their house last night. I actually had some of the young adults over Friday night, which was hilarious. And then these guys, we went and caught up with them for dinner. My goodness, I actually reckon it was better than Christmas lunch, wasn't it, guys? Michelle, yeah. Suzanne, it was just amazing. We had a great night. So I encourage you to do that. Catch up with people. It's a good thing to do. Well, I'm going to get started. So, look, this is really part two of a message that I actually spoke about last year. And so last year I talked about how I really felt God calling me out after over 23 years working on staff as a pastor, transitioning back into a secular role, and just the journey that God has taken me on through that. And so part of that journey, now this is actually part two of that message where I want to really just talk a little bit about the second stage of that. And so I think I said it in the first part of the message, and don't worry if you weren't here, they don't actually sort of, they're not, sort of part one and part two as such. But I think I said it at that time that, that message was quite simple. And again, this message is quite simple, and I spoke at Wellard Campus about it last week. But I think, that I've come to realise that the older I get, the more simpler the gospel actually is. It was never meant to be hard. And actually, the Apostle Paul talks about it, that it's actually the gospel and Jesus Christ, the message of Jesus Christ is actually it's meant to be simple. But sometimes we've wanted to intellectualise it. And God actually is like, no, it's actually simple. And so the older I get, the more I realise that some of those fundamental truths are actually the things that we sometimes don't do because we're thinking there's something more smarter or more intelligent out there. And so this message for me is, I turned 50 not long ago, a year ago, and so for me at that time it was a time of self-reflection of who I was and where I felt I was at and where I needed to go. And so that correlated with me leaving paid ministry and then going back into the workforce. And so part two of this is about me and my journey, and I believe it's all of our journeys. And I think, it doesn't matter if you're a young Christian or mature Christian or you're looking to see if Christianity is, holds the answers for you, is I think that we actually need to be constantly reminded of this because our humanity defaults to the negative. I don't know about you. It, for me, default to the negative. We sometimes, the glass is always half empty. It's never half full. And so that's the part of our brokenness as humanity. And so for all of us, we have to come back and it's almost like we have to discipline ourselves to actually go back and look at what the Bible says. for Christmas, I asked my husband, you know, I don't know about you, but after a while, I mean, I've been stuck in the Message Bible for probably about 5 years or so. I just love that translation. And the Passion Translation is just one of the latest translations out there at the moment, and I'm just loving it. And so sometimes just getting a new translation of a Bible actually refreshes your Christian journey, doesn't it? Because you get to read those truths again, but with a different, someone else's different version or different interpretation of that. And so I want to start this morning by reading you a scripture in Philippians 4:6. Well known, but again, a different translation. I think we could probably stay here all year, this one little verse. It says, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Oh, great. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. I just want to stop there and park it for a moment. You know, I just really want to look at this and explore it just personally over the coming months and this year, is that one of the things that I've just been hearing a little bit lately is this idea of, we talk about Christian values. And someone said this to me recently in a conversation. They said to me, Andrea, I've been told that I need to let go of that Christian value because it actually means that I will end up a lonely person living alone. And I said to this particular person, I said, what do you mean a Christian value? So just a real simple term of a value, a value is basically a belief that we hold, and then out of that belief we'll act upon it. That is a little bit scary because you and I will have different values. We come from a different environment. We're now in a church community together, but our Christian values could actually look very different. And so when she said this to me, I said to her, look, can we just stop there? I said, we're not talking about a value here. You need to actually know that we've got to be talking about a truth. You see, the Bible is truth. It's not a value. It's not a belief. It's a truth. And look, again, I need to explore that and think about that in more detail. But I just really starting to think that we've got to be careful as Christians that, you know, often what can happen is the culture of our society seeps into the church, and all of a sudden what we once thought was a truth is now, no, you can take that or leave that. That's just a value. My boss said to me today in a very difficult meeting this week, he said, Andrea, I know that you're a value-driven person. I wanted to say, what does that mean? Because all of us are actually living by a set of values. We just may not be aware of it. And so you and I must go back to this. This is truth. This is what will set you and I free. I don't know about you as a Christian, but I find it really, really hard, this book. I find it hard. I mean, I've been reading the book of Ephesians at the moment. Oh, good grief. I mean, I just get on one scripture and I think, good grief, it's going to take me the rest of my life. There's parts in there where I don't want to forgive. I want to stay angry. I want to stay bitter. I want to stay a whole bunch of things. But this is truth. This is what will set you and I free. This needs to be our moral compass. And so even though there are a lot of times in our lives where we find it, you know, I don't know about you, but we find it hard to digest, this is what will set you and I free. This is what will make the difference in our life. Has nothing to do with what I'm talking about this morning, but that's okay. You going okay? You good? Fantastic. You're all quiet. You okay? It's going to get better. It's going to get easier for you. If you've got your phone, maybe pop it on mute. That would be awesome. Mine, I'm hoping it is on mute. I had actually once a church member ring me during church. It was actually quite funny to tell me they weren't making it. About 10:30, I was like, oh, I won't take that call. Okay, fantastic. So why am I saying this? Let me get to the point. My message today, I said it was going to be simple. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. You know, I read this quote after during this week, after I'd preached this at Wellard, and I found this really, really fantastic quote by Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen runs the largest church in the US. I've given up how many tens of thousands go there. I think, is it 100,000? Don't know. Anyway, large church. He says, "I am. The two most powerful words for what you put after them shapes your reality." I'm going to say that again. I am. The two most powerful words for what you put after them will shape your reality. And today, my prayer is that by the time we leave here today, you and I are going to have words to put after that I am. The title of my message today is I Am Blessed. But for you, it may be I am healed. I am loved. I am forgiven. I am good looking. I am awesome. I am... Oh! I am happy, child of God. Fantastic. That's awesome. Fantastic. So let's get straight into it. So when I left my working here at the church, I transitioned over into a different role, and I actually managed to secure a position with the federal government quite easily, which was just an amazing, it was like a Jonathan thing. It was just like doors open and God just made a way. And I just felt so blessed about getting this job. But I didn't realise, because I've worked in a church environment, I've actually been, I was worked here at the church for 23 years, but before that I worked at another church. So for about 27 years, most of my career, I'd worked in a church environment. And so I didn't realise that not everyone is happy about their jobs. Sorry. I got to work with amazing Helen, and I got to work where Emma was, I think, came on staff at that time, and there were different ones. And, you know, Helen, if you know Helen Ricardo, she's got a lovely, even kind of temperament. She doesn't go around complaining. My husband's very similar. He doesn't complain. We worked on staff together. And most of the staff, well, all of the staff worked really hard and you know, just didn't complain. And then I went to this job and I felt like everyone complained about everything. Where they sat, where they had, what the lunchroom was like, what the, you know, the computer, if it wasn't working, they didn't have the right pens. And I was like, oh my gosh, I've just landed in an alien planet. Now all of you are going to look at me and go, Andrea, really? Where have you been? You're all telling me that that's what happens in your workplace, isn't it? Yep, 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 yep. So I was just like, good grief, I can't handle this. They just whinge about everything. But, you know, you and I know that it doesn't take too long before it actually starts to impact us. And before long, if we don't start making choices, we actually start whinging with the rest of them. I mean, Australians, it's a national pastime. We love to complain. Forget the palms. We took that crown years ago. Complain, complain, complain. And so for me, as I said, you know, when I came back into this environment, especially when I turned 50, for me it was starting to define a few things that I really wanted to work on that I felt I had a long way to go on. And so when I came into this situation, I thought, how is it for me? How do I want to respond in this situation? What do I want to be known as? Do I want to get in with the masses and complain? Or do I want to make a choice and not do that? So I'm not suggesting for a moment that we work in unreasonable conditions. I think in Australia we are so blessed that we have pretty much great working conditions and workers' rights. So this is not about, you know, an employer exploiting employees. But I think as we start to unpack it a little more, what it really boils down to is our sense of entitlement, what we feel that we're entitled to. And how we respond when we don't feel those expectations are being met. And I don't believe it's just in the workplace. You and I know that's everywhere. I mean, Nigel and I recently went out for a meal with somebody and they just complained. It was the coffee was bad, the burger was bad, the staff was bad. And look, it was bad. But I just came home, I just felt exhausted. And so today it's about what cost are you and I prepared and what price are we willing to pay to get what we believe that we deserve? We're living in a culture where we expect perfection and excellence time and time again. We feel there's a sense of entitlement to it. But I'm here to tell you today that this kind of thinking is infecting our society and it's slowly killing us. Think about the result of complaining. Ask yourself the question, does it make me feel any better? No. The natural nature of human flesh will always drift to the negative, and we have to work very hard at changing that. And I find personally when I go to that place of complaining, it robs me immediately of my joy. It just seeps out of me. I lose perspective very quickly and I can only see the negatives. So when I started in this job and everyone around me was complaining, I had to decide very quickly how I'd respond and what kind of person I would be. Now, because I'd been in a senior leadership position here, and when I came into this organisation, I started at the grassroots, one of the things that I asked myself was, what kind of an employee would I want to be? It's all right when you tell people what to do and they're paid, people have to do what you say. But what if the shoe's on the other foot and all of a sudden I've got someone else telling me what to do? What kind of an employee did I want to be? So I thought, well, God, I really want to practice what I preach. So, and Jared and Nige can definitely tell you if I'm not. You know what family are like. They remind you. And so for me, it was a question of, okay, well, then I'm just going to be a person that when my boss tells me to do something, I'm going to go, sure. And so I made a choice not to be a complainer. And look, that's not to say I haven't complained about every decision that's been made. Definitely not. But we know that changing doesn't change the situation. What it does is it alienates you from other people and people don't want to be around you because you're hard work. I have to be constantly reminded not to complain and not to default to the negative. And as I said, we're hardwired that way as a result of sin. Now think about Adam and Eve. They thought they were entitled to eat the fruit God said was off limits. They weren't happy with the 99% that God gave them. Now, if you're a parent, sometimes you say no. God just said you can have everything except that. No, we want to be like God. We're entitled to that. And so this is what you and I do. We're always struggling with this. This thing of being anything that's, you know, not quite 100% perfect or off limits. We want it. We feel that sense of entitlement. We feel like we're missing out. But you know what? You and I can hardwire ourselves today with Christ's help to change the way that we view life. Not only that, it will give us access to effecting the change that we actually want, that complaining won't achieve. So what is it? Again, I said this is a really simple message, but it's gratitude. Gratitude leads to joy. You see, joy is heaven sent. It's not emotion based. It's not dependent on the way that you're feeling today. I don't know about you, but I manage the largest team in our region now, and my goodness, it's a big team, and someone's emotions are up, and someone's emotions are down, and they're up, and they're down. Just come to my family. That's what it's like in my family. Up. Down. And I'm sure it's exactly the same with yours. See, joy is heaven sent. It's a supernatural impartation and it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so happiness is based on how you're feeling today. And if your circumstances aren't good, then you're down. If they're good, you're up. But joy is heaven sent and circumstances are irrelevant. And the other thing is that joy is contagious. Have you ever been around a joyful person? It is contagious. And this is where you and I need to get, because it's heaven sent and it can affect everyone around you. So as I said, I oversee now the largest team in my region. And so at Christmas time, my staff gave me a gift and a card. And in the card, it said, I'm vivacious. I'm always happy. I tell jokes that are really bad and then laugh at them. But see, what my guys don't know is that every day before I go to work, I pray. I say, oh God, I just want to be salt and light to that team. I want them to know that there's a different way of working in the public service. So what we have in our office is we have the no complaining rule. I said it the moment I got there, the no complaining rule. It's actually a book, and I can't remember the name of the psychologist, I think, that wrote it. So what the no complaining rule is that you're allowed to complain, but you have to come with a solution rather than a problem. Imagine if we did that in church life. Imagine if we did that in your workplace. So rather than being a person that's complaining, you're actually going, here's the problem, what about the solution? That was different. That was different. You see, joy is our secret weapon, and we can only get it through gratitude. How do we do this? Firstly, we choose a thankful attitude. Scriptures that are well known, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 in the New King James Version says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. In everything. In everything. In everything. I don't know about you, but I find that almost, well, actually, impossible. Do you think that's easy? I don't. Because we don't actually, see, the thing is, when you've been a Christian a long time, you rattle the scriptures off because you learn them in Sunday school. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. But let's take a breath and think about it. In everything. Well, hang on a minute, Andrea. You don't understand. I don't have a job. Hang on a minute, Andrea. I'm struggling with an addiction. Hang on a minute, Andrea. My finances are in a mess. Hang on a minute, Andrea. Got situations I'm dealing with. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Again, an interesting scripture. What that's saying is that you and I cannot enter into the presence of God unless we've actually said thank you. We forget that there is the triune God. There's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He's a Father. As a parent, one of the things that bugs me the most is when my children forget to say thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Because what happens is they feel there's a sense of entitlement. And it's no. God says, I want you to say thanks. I want you to appreciate what I've done. And we can't actually come into his presence. Now, the definition of thanksgiving in the dictionary says it's the act of giving thanks, grateful acknowledgement of benefits or favours, especially to God. That's what the dictionary says. An expression of thanks, especially to God. A public celebration and acknowledgement of divine favour or kindness. A day set apart for giving thanks to God. So today's actually, church is actually our thanksgiving. It's pretty good, isn't it? So the Americans stole it. We thank God, plain and simple. Father God doesn't like entitled, spoilt children. And thanksgiving helps us redirect our attention off ourselves and back toward God. And it forces us to be grateful for what we do have and what God has given us. We can't enter his presence without it. It's a discipline he has us do in order to rewire our negative nature into the positive new creation he's making us into. That's not to say you and I don't bring our worries and cares to him. On the contrary, we do. Secondly, complaining is a form of unbelief. I believe it's complaining is a form of unbelief because our confession is negative. Think about the children of Israel for a moment. Now, God said to them, I'm giving you an amazing... Now, he didn't do what he does most of the time. Most of the time with us, God just says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So he's basically saying, I want you to step out and trust me. In this instance, God didn't do that. He actually said, I'm actually going to tell you the end story. You're going to have this amazing promise. It's your own land, country, and it's not just any land, it's a cracker. I mean, the grapes are that big, the honey's amazing, the land is fertile. That's what I'm giving you. So it wasn't like they even had to figure out what God had for them. But you know what they did the whole way? You've been in church a long time. What'd they do? They'd hardly even got out the door and they started complaining. We don't like the food. I don't like quail. Oh, we're sick of that manna. Oh, my clothes are falling apart. Oh, it's too hot. Oh, it's too cold. Oh, the water's just not, you know, it's not sparkling. And on and on and on and on they went. And what did God do? God said, I've had enough. I think we might just stop there. We've had enough. So I don't think you guys have quite got this. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to get you to walk around that mountain for 40 years until you actually get it. Now, if you're a parent, you so get this. Because how many times where our kids have just been raw and you've gone, I don't think so. I might just hold off on that blessing. And this is what you and I can do. It can be actually to the point where we actually just go, God goes, I want to bless you. But when you're blessing, that blessing you believe is your right. Hang on a minute. Let's just hold off on that. See, the second part of verse 6 says, offering your faith-filled requests before God. One of the hardest things that you and I will have to do is trust God when things aren't turning out the way we'd hope them to. And I believe it's also we complain because when it's not turning out, we go to fear, don't we? We start thinking, oh, he hasn't got this. God hasn't got this. He doesn't know what he's doing. Oh, I'm not sure about this. And so our complaining can turn into fear. And just because it's not happening doesn't mean it won't happen. Rather than complaining, we've got to go to faith. I think if anything I have learned at being a Christian for the last 40 years is this is fundamental to the Christian walk, is that you and I, and we use that word faith like a cliche, oh, go to faith. What does that mean? It means we say to God, and for me, it's about my language. And so I walk around our house and I will say consistently, I will say when the situation's bad, I'll say to Nigel and Jared, I'll say, God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. He's got it. God has got this. And we have to change our complaining into a statement of faith. We have to release the supernatural. And as soon as we start doing that and changing our language, what will happen is the joy comes. It's going to be okay. God's got this. He's got this. And again, I go back to that original statement that I made. It's not a value. It's got to be a truth. Because when the circumstances aren't going right, we don't go to complaining. We go, I actually believe that what you said is true. You have got this. The steps of a good man or woman are ordered by God. You've got a plan. God, you've got a plan. And what complaining does is it blocks heaven. We have to come with thanksgiving. What is thanksgiving? It's saying, oh God, you're an amazing God. Oh God, I remember that time when this happened. The children of Israel had to tell the stories orally to the next generation because God wanted them to know what to declare. And you and I have got to change our language and we've got to say, God, you've got this, despite the circumstances, and he will move. And so what we have to do, I love this anonymous quote. It says, gratitude turns what we have into enough. Gratitude turns what we have into enough. Right here, right now, you have enough. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have enough. Not when you get that promotion, not when you find that guy, not when your kids are back in church, not when you can pay the bills. You have enough now. Right now, you have enough. If anything we can learn from our brothers and sisters around the world and in Liberia, this has taught me the lesson the most, is they feel that they have enough. And they've got nothing. But they just have this knowledge of the goodness of God despite nothing. And you and I have to come against this that is coming into the church. It's coming into our workplace where we have become spoilt. And the sense of entitlement about our rights. No, we lost that right when Jesus died on the cross. We were saved by grace. He said, no one's going to take the benefit of this one. I'm doing it. I've laid down my life for you. And we've got to get a sense and a joy back in our heart that what you and I have right now is enough. But Andrea, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't. I don't know what you're going through. But I do know there's someone out there who's actually going through a lot worse than you. There always is, isn't there? Come on. 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago when I was here, we prayed and cried out to God for rain for the East Coast. Hey, we got it. God is good. I mean, come on. We could have been having our homes destroyed, our livestock, our everything. Our families destroyed by fire. There's always someone who's got it worse. And, you know, this can be all cliched. And, you know, your parents taught you all those really cute little sayings when they were, you know, growing up. Oh, you know, be thankful for your blessings. But I don't think that we are living it. I know I'm not. I don't know about you. But we have to get to a set. We have to get to a point where we go, God, if you never did another thing, I'd be grateful. I would come into your presence and I would say, thank you, God. Because even if I just scrape in to heaven, that's more than what? Anything else. So we have to do it. It's a form of unbelief. I'm just going to jump down because I'm running out of time. I'm going to go to Philippians 1:6. You know this. I am certain. I love the language of Paul. I am certain that God who began that good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. That good work within you. I want to say to you, church, this is the year we get stronger. This is a year where some of these very basic theological truths we're going to pick up again. We're going to be walking around. You know, I actually got a promotion because I was a happy person. They're not used to that in the public service. It's hilarious. I'm joking. If you work for the public service, God bless you. But they just were like, you're so happy. I don't want to go to work every day and be miserable. Come on. Come on. It's got the power to change. You and I can walk into a room and we can change the atmosphere. It is a Holy Spirit God thing. Holy Spirit fruit. So how do we get it? Oh, hang on. Before we do that, I want to say one other thing. Your words affect your future. Probably about 7 or 8 years ago, I went through burnout. And so at that time, I went through a period where I was very depressed. And I would say words like, I hate my life. I wish I was dead. Don't know if any of you have ever been there. I've been there. Hate my life. I wish I was dead. As soon as you speak that out, the devil will come. You've opened a door. So the devil comes, starts to whisper in your ear, well, why are you still here? What value do you add? So thankfully, kicking in that those years of being a Christian, I went, good grief, I better change my language. So I changed my language from I hate my life to I love my life. But I didn't actually love my life, but I decided to change my language. That's all it is. It's a choice. So going from hating life to I love my life, guess what? Depression lifted, went, demonic thing. You and I can choose our life. Again, I don't know what it is about me and Joel Osteen at the moment, but he just says this great statement. He says, with our words, we can speak blessings over our future. That simple. You can actually bless your future by what you say now. Did you know that? What is it you want? So I love my life. I absolutely love my life now. Is it perfect? No. My husband perfect? No. My family perfect? No. My church perfect? No. My job perfect? No. But we can change our life by what we say. You've got it. How do you do that? Word of God. The Word of God. You speak this again. I keep coming back to it. It's truth. It's not a value. It's truth. God says He has a hope and a future for you. That's what you speak out. That's what I spoke out for years. God, you've got a future, hope and a future for me. Got a hope and a future. Circumstances aren't looking good, but you've got a hope and a future. I'm going to keep praying that. I'm going to keep speaking that out. And you release it. I used to go, come into the presence of God, and I used to say, God, I'm so grateful for my life. Again, thanksgiving opens heaven, blessing comes. Simple, simple things you and I can do to change our world. So how do we do it? I'm going to jump right down, guys. I'm actually run out of time. To my last point, how do we do it? Well, it's through the Holy Spirit. Triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is our helper, our comforter, our encourager. So it's the Holy Spirit. We need to spend time this. We've got to get this in us. And once we've got this in us, the Holy Spirit will start to, it'll start to sort of ruminate and germinate, and it'll start to change your language. You'll start, your confession will start to change. The Holy Spirit will get on you. And it's joy. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not Andrea being happy and wonderful at work. It's all of us getting into the presence of God. Supernatural impartation, letting go. I say to my staff all the time, it is what it is. We can't change that. Let's not worry about it. We're not going to complain about it. We're just going to stay happy. You and I, we actually can get the Holy Spirit inside of us. And I believe that complaining is a sin. It's a sin. We're saying to God, I'm not happy with my lot in life. Now listen, I'm not saying you can't tell God it's pretty crappy, because you can, because that's the whole of Psalms. David starts off saying, really, God? What does he do? He complains, but he always finishes, oh no, then he says, wipe him out. Don't you just want to wish that on a few people? God, just wipe him out. David, he complains, he says, wipe him out, Lord, and then I praise you. I love it. He always ends the Psalms with a praise. But we can tell God how we're feeling. We can tell him the reality because he knows it anyway. We can say, this is pretty bad. I'm pretty scared, God. Help me. I need the situation to change, God. I'm believing the situation to change, God. None of that's wrong. Facing the truth, let's not be delusional. But then we get Jesus on the inside, the Holy Spirit, and he says to us, come on. And it just comes out of us, that joy. People go, Andrew, you're always happy every day. Okay. I haven't yet said it's Jesus, but, you know, it's Jesus, isn't it? You and I, it's Jesus. So today, as we stand to your feet, if you wouldn't mind, I want you just for a moment. I started off by saying, I am blessed. What does 2020 look for you? Look like for you? What are the I am statements that you can make? Maybe you're in business today and it's tough and you need to just go, I am believing to be able to pay the bills. I am believing, God, you're going to open doors. What is the statement that you want to make today, 2019, 2020? Father God, I just want to pray for every person here today. Father, I just pray, God, that you would just reach out and bless every single person that's here today. Every one of us, you know, complains about stuff all the time. But God, I pray that you would shift our thinking today. I pray that the Holy Spirit would help us when we go to that place of complaining. Holy Spirit, you would convict us to go, don't do it that way. Change the way that you speak. because I want to release blessing in your life. Father, I pray for every person here today that would get stronger in 2020. I want to pray for those people that have never accepted Jesus Christ today as Lord of their life. You know, I talked about the Holy Spirit. Part of who God is, it's the nature of who God is. And so I want to pray with you today that you would accept Jesus Christ into your life and the Holy Spirit will come and help you do life better. You may be here today and going, life hasn't been that great. Well, I want to say today that Christ wants to live in your life and help you do it better. I also want to invite people in a moment who maybe have walked away from God and said, you know, I'm disappointed, Andrea. Where's God been in all of this? I want to say today, it's not over yet. It is not over yet. We are not sure yet what God is going to do with that situation you're facing. But if you'll trust Him, He will work it out for good. But today is the day to let go of that disappointment that you felt with God, that anger that you felt with God. Can you and I do that today?